I want to begin the study this morning by reading a passage of scripture from Isaiah, the 41st chapter. Isaiah chapter 41, we'll begin reading at verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them. Even them that contendeth with thee, they that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make thee a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. Thou shalt thresh the mountain, and beat them small, and thou shalt make the hills as chaff. Thou shalt fan them, and the wind shall carry them away. And the whirlwind shall scatter them, and thou shalt rejoice in the Lord, and shalt glory in the Holy One of Israel. A number of times in this passage, God promises he will be with Israel. I am with thee. I will strengthen thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Over and over, God promises to be with his people. I want you to think with me for a little while this morning about the idea of strength for today. We all, from time to time, must look for strength each and every day that will allow us to continue in our service to the Lord. The words of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, reflects man's weakness. Jeremiah said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself, it's not in man that walketh to direct his steps. God offers the only remedy for our infirmities, but very few give attention to God's remedy. Isaiah, in our text, directs man to God. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's verse 10 from the New American Standard updated edition. In verse 10. Man's strength is derived from God and from his Son, Jesus Christ, along with the help of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is depicted as the true vine. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And remember Jesus in John 15, there in verse 5 said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Spiritual endurance, courage, success in things that pertain to life and godliness are fully supplied by God's divine power. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, according as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We need to look in the right place for the strength that we need. For the last several weeks, Dottie and I have had to endure some things that we didn't have any idea of would be upon us a month and a half ago. Others in the congregation have endured some things in the last few days that they may have been expecting at some point in time because of illness. Others in the congregation are going to be experiencing some things of a physical nature in regard to some surgeries, and others are experiencing things as a result of aging process. Every one of us, each day of our lives, must recognize that we need strength from God to deal with the various aspects of life. We want to think about some of those as we go through our study today. A number of passages of Scripture, and I may not go through all of them in detail, but you'll have them on the screen if you want to jot them down and look at them later. Hebrews chapter 11, there in verse 9 and 10, there the text talks about us being a sojourner. Talking about Abraham here in this particular text, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him according with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. God promised Abraham a land. Abraham himself never literally possessed this land, but his descendants did. He's referred to as a sojourner. That's what we are today. We are sojourners. We're just passing through. We're not going to live forever on this earth. One day we're going to be gone. We need strength of preparation. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 6 to the church there at Ephesus, he emphasized these beginning in verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. We need the armor of God, those qualities that Paul enumerates here, to be able to stand in our fight against the devil. He said, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. These are the things that we need in order to prepare ourselves to stand against the wiles of the devil. In order to walk through this life as a sojourner. Now, strength for life's journey. We need to recognize that we walk by faith and not by sight, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And in 2 John, verse 9, whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Strength for life's journey comes from God, not from man. Strength for a life journey in conflict is available to us from the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession. Have confessed Jesus Christ, and have decided that you're going to live your life for Him. As he continues in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, no man the warrior that taketh himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that chosen him to be a soldier. We are literally soldiers. Not in a literal army, but in a spiritual army. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. And so, in order to have strength for life's journey, we must recognize that when we have conflict, that we can depend upon God. We can do that as we think about victory. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. If we're going to conquer our enemy, Now, we're not going to conquer physical death because it's appointed unto men, all men wants to die. We're going to die physically. But we don't have to die spiritually. We can have victory in Jesus Christ. He's going to deliver the kingdom back to God. That's us. And so we can have strength for life's journey each day. And it's a daily task. It's not something that we can look down yonder 2, 3, 4 months, 6 months, a year, years down the road. All we have is right now, today. Paul said today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Strength for life's journey. Strength for today. We can have strength for physical and spiritual needs. Psalm 37, there verse 25. David said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We can have our physical needs because God will provide them for us. We can have strength through prayer to God. James 5 verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. As we ask, as we seek, as we knock, understand that we can have that for which we ask. If we ask in faith, there is abundant spiritual food at our disposal. Look at several verses in the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, beginning there at verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? They were not willing to accept Jesus as the bread of life. Now notice he's going down to verse 48. Jesus again affirms, I am that bread of life. I am that bread of life. Then in verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Obviously, Jesus is not talking about physical food. He's talking about spiritual food. When we depend upon Jesus Christ and His Word, we allow His Word to be a part of our lives. Remember, John says that's what's going to judge us in the last day, John 12, verse 48. We can have the strength for our physical as well as our spiritual needs. We can have strength in trouble and weakness just for today. We can't expect this next July because it's not here yet. All we have is right now, today. We can have strength in trouble and weakness because God is with His own. As you look at Paul in his writing to the church in Rome, in Romans the 8th chapter, there in verse 31, he said, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There is absolutely nothing that we can face that cannot be faced with Jesus Christ as our helper. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. And as the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We can rest assured that God is with us in tribulation and uncertainty. In fact, tribulation is certain. We will be tempted. But we understand in John chapter 16 to verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We're going to have tribulation. It's a certainty. But there are things that are uncertain. Things we face that we really don't know how to deal with. But we need to recognize that with God's help, we can get through these things. We have strength for trouble and weakness just for today. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 there in verse 12, yea, and all that believe godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. No doubt about it. We're going to endure tribulation. It's certain. It's going to come. Now, in what form it comes, we may not know. We don't know when it's going to come. And so there's an air of uncertainty about this. But just rest assured, there will be tribulation. But God provides us the power to deal with these and to overcome them. Psalm 119 to verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word hath quickened me or hath made me alive. This is my comfort in my affliction. What is that? God's word. In Psalms 84, verse 11 and 12, there the text says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, Paul said, for this cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And notice Paul refers to light afflictions. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now you remember what Paul refers to as light afflictions. Beaten with rods, whipped with whips, stoned and left for dead, shipwrecked. All of these things he endured because of his service to the Lord. He refers to them as light affliction. But God gave him the power to overcome. You remember when Paul prayed for his thorn in the flesh? Fervently he prayed. And the Lord replied, my grace is sufficient for thee. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, Paul said, there hath no temptation or trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So God provides the means of escape. Peter said, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. 2 Peter 2 and verse 9. If we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God, we can have strength in trouble. We can have strength in weakness. We can have strength for care and anxiety. Understand that there is no care too great for God. Peter would say in 1 Peter 5 verse 7, casting all thy care upon him, for he careth for you. All your care, not just part of it, but all of it. In Philippians 4 and verse 7, Paul said, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God goes beyond understanding. As Paul would write to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed against that day. God is able to do more than we can ever even think or expect him to do. He goes beyond what we can even think and imagine. There's nothing that's too great for God. And so as a result, we must not be anxious. As Christians, this is one of the greatest blessings, I believe, that we have. That we don't have to worry and fret and steal about the things that happen to us. Now we do. Sometimes it's hard not to. But as children of God, we shouldn't have to experience those. As Luke writes in Luke chapter 12, beginning verse 25, for which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Can you grow taller? If you worry enough about it, can you make yourself grow taller? Can you heal yourself of physical diseases? We can go to the doctor, and the doctors can do some things that will help to alleviate pain and suffering and possibly make us well from various diseases. But he asks, can you grow taller? By taking thought, by worrying about it. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? And that's some thoughts that we need to entertain. Because we can literally worry ourselves sick about things. over which we have absolutely no control. Some things we do have some control over, and we can do something about some things. But only with God's help can we make it through the trials and tribulations of this life. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be anxious for nothing. As Christians, we ought not to be worriers. I made a statement at times about my mother that she worried about something to worry about. She was a worrier. Yes, she depended on God, but at the same time, she was anxious at times and worried about things that really there was nothing she could do about. Those are things that we need to be careful to restrict ourselves from worrying and fretting and stewing about those things that we have absolutely no control over. Put our faith and our confidence in God and know that there is no care too great for Him. He can take care of all of our problems, one way or the other. Now, I may not particularly like the way that God takes care of it. Paul evidently wasn't really fond of his thorn in the flesh. He prayed fervently three times it'd be removed. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. So it may be that I just have to endure. I just have to put up with things and do so with grace, with kindness, with thoughtfulness, depending upon God for His care. I can have strength in regard to care and anxiety just for today. What about our hope? I believe we can have strength in regard to our hope. We understand that we have a living hope. In Acts chapter 24, there at verse 14, there the text said, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also know, and there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. As Peter writes concerning some of these matters, in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning there at verse 3, the text says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, or a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We've been talking in our Bible study period on Sunday morning about the resurrection. We're begotten with a living hope. In what way? Well, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. To whom? To you. Who's the you? The ones who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's the ones who have this living hope. Our hope is not a dead hope. Our hope is based on revelation from God's Word. We have something to back up our hope. The difference between a wish and a hope is vast. A wish is simply a desire to have something. But a hope is desire coupled with an expectation to receive. In regard to wish, there is no expectation to receive. But with hope, there is expectation. And what's that based on? Well, the scripture says that it's based on the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So if I believe that Jesus came, that He lived, He died, and He was raised from the dead, I can have this hope. It's a living hope. It's a hope that looks forward to a place that is prepared. Remember we read from John chapter 14, beginning verse 1, when John records the words of our Lord, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, where I am, there you may be also. As he began this, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some of these newer translations translate that many rooms, many places of abode. He said, If it were not so, I would have told you. It's in that context he said, I go to prepare a place for you. This place is prepared, not for everybody, but for those who belong to the Lord. A place for you. I go, I'll come again, and receive you unto myself. Who is the you? The you are those who do not let their hearts be troubled. Those who believe in God, who believe also in Jesus Christ. That's the you. A prepared place, as we sometimes say, for a prepared people. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Can you imagine what heaven is like? Being with God in that beautiful place that we call heaven. Forever and ever, there'll be no end worshiping and praising God all the time. And we talked in our class this morning, we use the word time sometime when really it's not time. It's hard for us to conceive of such a place. But God has prepared it for us, those who believe in Jesus Christ. So that's the reason we can have strength for our hope. Because it's based on a definite fact. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead to die no more. Acts 17 verse 31. We obviously must desire this place. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, how much do we really look for? How much do we really desire? And I appreciate Brother Bruce from time to time. He makes reference in his prayer about looking for Jesus to come soon. I wonder, do we really think about wanting to go and be with God? Desire to be with him. We have hope of being with him, but do we really want it? If we do, have we made reservations? Colossians chapter 1 there, verse 4, Paul says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which, that's the gospel, which is coming to you as it is in all the world and bringing forth fruit as it doth also in you. Since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Paul would say to the Thessalonians, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It takes effort on our part to make preparation, to make reservation for this time. Dottie and I made some reservations for an event that we hope to be able to attend the first or second week of March, I guess it is. There's a possibility we may not get to, but we're looking forward to it with anticipation. Because of the people that we'll be with, that we've known for many years, and have been with them, associated with them in the past, and we'll renew acquaintances, enjoy their company, and so we look forward to it. I wonder, do we really look forward to heaven like that? Are we really expecting to be able to be in heaven with God, that we really have this hope of being with God forever? In order to do that, we have to establish this hope. As the Hebrew writer talks about in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. This hope must be established. We must lay hold on it. That takes effort on our part. All of this involves obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. In order to have this hope established, there must be obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said there's just one, Galatians chapter 6. Just one, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. There's just one gospel, the one that has been revealed, strength just for today. It's the only time we have. Where did we get this strength? Obviously, this strength, as Isaiah pointed out, comes from God. When he made the statement in regard to God, "For I am with thee, I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Strength comes from God, and let me assure you, God will not disappoint us. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, there, verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." I know, no doubt about it, God is able. And as he wrote later in that same book, in chapter 4, he said, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Now listen to this next phrase. "Henceforth," well, that means "for this reason, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul didn't say he might give it to me. He said, "which the Lord shall give me at that day." And not just to Paul, but to everyone who loves his appearing. Those who are looking for him to return. It's going to be a glorious day, a wonderful day. But for those who are not looking for his coming, those who are not prepared for his coming, those who have not availed themselves of God's strength to deal with the problems and trials of this life, it's not going to be a glorious day. It's going to be a sad day. The question that we need to answer, am I strong enough to properly order my priorities? Remember what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 6, there, verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Some things are more important than others. The kingdom of God is of vital importance because it has to do with that which is beyond this life. Yes, it has to do with this life, very definitely, but it goes beyond this life into eternity. And so our priorities have to be properly ordered so that we can be ready for the time when he returns. God's promised, "I'll be with you, I'll help you, I'll fight for you." But he'll do that only if we are willing to submit to him, submit ourselves to his will in all things. Even the Lord himself made the observation, "I came to do thy will, O God." When he's praying in the garden in such agony, desiring that this tribulation, the death and suffering, if there's some other way, he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." We have to be willing to allow the Lord's will to be done. If you're in this audience today and you realize that you are not prepared for the time when the Lord returns, you can prepare yourself. You've never obeyed the gospel. You can do that by being buried in water for the remission of your sins. The Lord then will add you to his family, the church. If you have obeyed the gospel and you've gone back into sin, you can return confessing your sin, turning from them, asking God to forgive you. He's promised that he will. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing for your encouragement.